Let's turn to Philemon. There's a little book towards the end of your Bible called the Book of Philemon, one chapter. What's happening in this book is that Paul, I believe, was in prison, and he sends a letter to this man, Philemon, who was a friend of his back in Colossae, about a runaway slave that Paul had met named Onesimus. That means the name Onesimus, an interesting, means useful, because I think Onesimus had probably come to the place of thinking he was useless, which goes along with what we're saying this morning, what's being said this morning, because I won't ask you how many of you felt useless at times, but as far as God's concerned, we're useful to his kingdom. So what had happened was Onesimus was a slave of Philemon, and he had taken off. In that time, people, it wasn't slaves in the same sense as we had early in this country. It was, they were get behind in their finances, and they would sell themselves to a landowner and then work for him until they worked off what they owed him. And Onesimus, before that was fulfilled, took off and came across Paul. Well, if you came across Paul, you're going to have an opportunity to get born again, which is what Onesimus did. And so Paul is saying to Onesimus, you need to go back. You know, do what's right here. Just because you get born again doesn't mean you don't need to do what's right. Do what's right. Go back to where you belong and fulfill the obligation that you've made to this man. And he's writing to Philemon saying, receive him back. Let him back in. And if you read the whole book, you know, the one chapter there, some interesting, Paul says to him basically, you know, I'm really asking you to do this, and remember that you're only born again because I ministered the gospel to you. A little sarcasm there, you know, getting the point across. But this is what the book is about. And in verse 6, it says this, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, I'm a words guy, so I look them up because I read that and I'm not quite in the gist of what's being said there. But when we break the words down, it begins to be understandable. So the sharing of your faith, the sharing is I think the old King James uses the word communication, am I right? The communication of your faith. And it's the word that I think we probably know a few Greek words accidentally. The koinonia. Have you heard that word before? Koinonia. I think there are koinonia clubs where you get together and you communicate and you fellowship. Yeah, it's translated different ways. So the fellowship of your faith. And it means something people have in common. Something people have in common. We get together in fellowship because we have something in common. We fellowship together at church because what's our commonality here is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We believe he's the way, the truth, and the life. We come to the Lord by him. We're not fellowshipping around a religious principle. We're fellowshipping around the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of the Son of his love, praise God. Amen? So we come together in that. And this is referring to this sharing of your faith. The communication, the fellowship here is not talking so much about how we fellowship as brothers and sisters in Christ as it is how we fellowship with him. And I do it this way, but really we fellowship with him because now he lives on the inside of us. We share things in common. And it goes back to the cross. Because at the cross, an exchange was made. And all these things that God is and God has for us, I am who he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. The exchange was made at the cross into the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had to become a man because that's the only way the exchange could be made. If it was just God the Father to God the Son, It's in God, but it's not in us. But because there was an exchange made, because he became a man, a body was prepared for him, and he died as a man, the Son of Man, then as we come into him, the exchange is made, and everything, and when we came into him, I should put it that way, everything that he is became us and ours. And when we have a sharing and a fellowship with that, we begin to experience that. Now, and I think we all need to experience that a whole bunch more. I know I do. And it comes down to not just healing and deliverance and peace and the things that we talk about most of the time, but just getting a general victorious life. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it instead of coping with life, enjoying life. I believe that God intended for us, no matter who's president, no matter who's governor, no matter who's in political office, no matter who we're working for, no matter what house we live in, life is good. Because the good God lives on the inside of us, and we're fellowshipping with that presence that's on the inside. Now, obviously, we must be needing to learn and to experience more of this, because we're not experiencing enough of this as we sit here this morning. We all have a ways to go. And it's really a progressive thing, don't you think? I remember the whole thing, you know, we get born again, bang, we're a new creature in Christ Jesus on the inside in the spirit. But this outside man is, we experience it by progressively as we get a hold of it in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. About 15 years ago, I kind of hit the bottom in depression. Depression happens slowly, and all of a sudden, you know, wherever I find myself, there I am, you know, one of those kind of things. And it just began to manifest in fear and all kinds of squirrely ways, really, looking back on it. And I recognized that I got away from being in the Bible every day. Some of these steps that Diane's talking about that are important, that you can't just afford to slough off on. And I'd gotten away from confessing the Word of God. When we came out of Rhema, we believed in confessing the Word of God. Amen. We got up in the morning, amen, confessing the Word of God. And we got through the day confessing the Word of God. And we went to bed at night confessing the Word of God. And I had gotten away from that. And the thing that stabilized me and helped me begin to progress out of depression was to begin to have I had a list. I began to say these list of things, and I wrote it down first, but then I had it in me, and I didn't need to carry the list around with me. It was in me, and I was saying it, and it made a difference. I don't know if you've ever been to that place where you know that it's the thing to do, and it made a difference. Now, the progressive part of it is this. If it just remains a list, then it stops having power in your life. It did in my life. And after a while, it becomes rote. I talked with Shell about this. She talked with me about this. If you don't continue to progress in experiencing these things, it just becomes something I have to do in the morning. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can't leave home without it. I've got to make this confession, or I'll have an awful day, or even God will judge me. You know, it becomes something I have to earn from God, and the way I'm earning it now is by making my confession before Him. You're all awful quiet. So I've got to actualize. I've got to fellowship with the things that I'm saying that are based upon the Word of God, and continue to adjust the things that I'm saying according to the Word of God. Because a lot of what I was confessing, I don't know about you, was still a future thing. I'm going to. Later on, you know, there's all, and then you come back to the Bible, which according to Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things, so forth, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? So if I'm putting it off, then I'm not there yet. And I sure would like to get there, but I'm not there. But the truth of the matter is I am there, and I need to fellowship with that and actualize the things that have already happened. Let me look at some of these other words here. The sharing of your faith, that the sharing of your faith may become effective. This is that the word of in the Greek for effective is where we get our word energy, energized, or you could say actualized, which I like to look that up in the dictionary. It means to make a reality of, make into reality. So is energized or made a reality by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Acknowledgement. Now here's an interesting word. I have no idea how to say it in the original language, but precise and correct knowledge. Expressing a greater, this is what read out of the book, study book, Vines. Expressing a greater participation by the knower in the object known, thus more powerfully influencing him. Would you think about that for a second with me? Expressing a greater participation by the knower, that's me, into the object known, that's him and everything that he is to me, thus more powerfully influencing him or me. Acknowledging, this is who I am. This has been well said already this morning, but I'm going to say it again. That's what I'm up here for. Commercials understand that we need to hear things over and over again. Amen? I am participating in the precise knowledge of who he is in me the knower, and him the thing to be known, not just known head, but known in the heart. This is what we're after. I know that you know this. I'm thinking, I feel like you're saying, well, I know that, but do you know that? You understand there's a difference between I know that and I know that on the inside. Amen. So we keep coming back to that. Like Diane was saying about, and Allison also. See, I remembered your name today. Things are coming right along. But I forgot what I was going to say, but... It's on a good course there for a while, too. Let me read the verse again. Maybe something will come back. The sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Good thing. Good, pleasant, agreeable, joyful, happy thing that is in us. What's in us? All this good stuff. It's like Prego. It's in there. Praise God. And we need to tap into that. Now, go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. The first verse tells us we have the same kind of faith, like precious faith, amen? And then verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you, in the knowledge. Now that word knowledge there is the same word as acknowledge that we read in Philemon verse 6. So that's precise and correct knowledge. And this is experiencing by the knower of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord as his divine power, notice, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. through the knowledge, there's the same word again, of him who called us by glory and virtue or excellence. He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. There's nothing that remains yet to be given. It's all been given. Whatever it seems in my life that I need power to overcome, I've already been given the power. Whatever understanding I need to overcome, the understanding is in me. Whatever it is that I need, that I think I need, to overcome and to live the kind of life that God intended for me, is already in me. There was an exchange made at the cross, and at that point, when I became a new creature in Christ Jesus, when I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of my life, an exchange was made, and that was put in me at that point. And I could live and die and never experience any of that that's in me unless the exchange is experienced and actualized, and I recognize that what I need is already on the inside. Now, I'm glad you all came today, but I need to hear this, and I'm preaching to myself here. You can have something in you that you don't realize that you have. Let me tell you a story that I've told before, if I remember all the way through this time. When I was getting ready to go to Bible college, to go to Northeast Bible 2 years ago, I worked for a while at a place called Pretty Print Dress Factory. Not proud of that, but that's... So that's where I worked. So, and it was a thing going there where after a month or 2 months or whatever, you got a raise. It was supposed to be automatic. And back then, a raise, you know, if you got 10 cent raise, it's a big deal back in the 60s. 10 cents, wow. I remember coming to the place where the first time I made $10,000 a year. And I thought, woo, all right, I've arrived. But the time passed when I was supposed to get a raise, and the guys that I was working with were saying, you got to watch them, the bosses here, because they don't always give you that raise that you're supposed to have. Keep your eye on things, watch them, because they've cheated people. What is it about when you work for somebody, you automatically take a bad attitude towards the boss? They just don't know anything. And if I was running things, boy, I'd do it different, you know. Anyway, I am embarrassed to say I fell for that. And I thought, I started saying with them, yeah, I don't think I got my raise. Where's my raise? I didn't get my raise. And I started talking that way. And then I got called in to the office. And they said, we gave you your raise. And then I started thinking, you know, there was a little more money in my checks recently. It was a very, very embarrassing time. And the point is, it was there, and I just didn't recognize that I had actually, I probably spent, but I hadn't actualized the gift that had been given, not gift, but the earning that had happened in that situation. There are things that are there that you don't know they're there until you begin to have this precise knowledge with the one who is the giver of all these gifts. And we grow in experience and experiencing him. Ephesians chapter 4. Starting verse 17. Read this out of the New International Version. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. And then it lists in the things, that the way that the Gentiles live and the futility of their mind. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. So there is a, Paul is saying to the church at Ephesus, don't live like the non-Christians. You're not a non-Christian. Don't live like you don't have Jesus on the inside. You do. Don't live like you used who you used to be. Live like who you are. And you can become slight. This is a downward spiral. I've taught it that way before, where you get farther and farther from God. You can have God on the inside and live as if He's not there at all. And listen, can I say it this way? In a sense, we all do in certain areas of our life. We live, all right, Wayne, you live like God's not even there in parts of your life. And it's very easy to do. It's very easy to fall into that. And it starts with this thought realm that we're going to be working on. And it's not just memorizing scripture and those kind of things. It's experiencing those scriptures. See, the value of coming to church on a Sunday morning is we worship with the Word of God. Amen. And so it gets into you in a way when you're singing them and worshiping with them that I think even goes beyond just mentally ascending to them as you're reading them. I think, I don't know, I'm babbling on here, but something happens with me, I notice, in worship where you're, I guess because you're feeling it, you're experiencing, you're feeling connected. It's a good word. You know, like that song that we do, and the ground shook, and the rock moved, and Jesus came out of the grave. I can't sing that without experiencing it to some extent. And when we're doing it that way, we experience it. You learn the words better. Amen? You find yourself singing songs that you learned 40 years ago. Unfortunately, they're not all Christian songs. That's the problem. But it gets into you because you've heard the words with a musical background. It's powerful. Powerful to the wrong extent and to the right extent. Amen? That's why such attention is given between Diane and Shell and the worship group with making sure that the words are right. Because there are songs that have good musical background, but the words are leading us in the wrong direction. How many of you came up in church? We sang a lot of church songs that we can't sing anymore. Amen. Just, I traveled down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. I mean, farther along, we'll know all about it. It's just a lot of things that we sang were putting us in a place where we didn't want to be. They were speaking truths that aren't really true. It's not who we are. And then everything was into heaven. When we get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. Now we're here, but when we get there, we'll rejoice.
I'm just going to add a couple songs because this Lord prompted me. I woke up Friday morning and I had two songs in my head, what I was sharing about before. And it just, you know, what I'm talking about, your thoughts. Because, you know, if you were, you may know these songs, you may not. One is an unworthy,
a beggar
in bondage and alone, but He made me worthy. Now that sounds really spiritual, but what is inside you is I'm unworthy. Okay. And the other one is, who am I that a king should bleed and die for? Who am I that something?
Say, not my will, thine.
Not my will, thine. The answer, I may never know how He ever loved me so.
To an old rugged cross.
He'd go for who am I? That sounds so spiritual. But what is it? What message does it put inside me? It says, who am I? I'm just so humble and I need to just, I can't do it, you know, just without God. And there's truth there, But the thing is, the way we perceive it, the way our thinking is, you know, I was saying to him when this came to me, saying to him, you know, I don't know of anybody who needs help putting themselves down. You know, they just think that they're so wonderful that they need somebody to tell them that they're not as wonderful as they think they are. Now, you may know somebody like that, and you understand this. But I mean, as a Christian, most every Christian I know is, I'm not. Because this is what we feed into ourselves. This is our thoughts. This is our songs. This is, you know, it's so important. So important.
There are a lot of, and there are a lot of good songs, not just all the old songs. There are a lot of good songs, you know. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Whew, they didn't get any more powerful than that. Praise God. Go to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. You know, I like all this participation. Don't you like hearing from this one and that one, but, you know, from God, but through different people? This is good. Chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. We desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Thinking back to the verse 17 in Ephesians chapter 4, don't be like the non-Christians. There's that downward spiral, and you can become sluggish when you put yourself in that place. When you're not actualizing and experiencing who you are in Christ, it becomes a sluggish life. You know what a slug is? Our dog, Abby, somehow developed in her later life here. She lays on the floor with her tongue, just the tip of her tongue hanging out. I don't know why that seems sluggish to me, but you know, you're maybe making a little progress, but not very much. Boy, I've been down that road, and it's not fun. It's not who God created us to be. But look around, you know, watch those who, through faith and patience, actualize the promises of God in their life. Learn something from Christians in history who made something from God out of their life because of who they were on the inside. We can learn something from each other. We can learn, you know, testimonies are good because we learn something from each other, because we're all dealing with life in the same way to a certain extent. Amen? So we stay on with it. Praise God. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Yeah, let me finish this verse and then we'll get to you. Hebrews 12 starts out with being surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And, you know, I think all of us have some witnesses in heaven that are watching us and rooting for us. Then in verse 2, it says this. This is the way the Amplified Bible says. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. Looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. In my life, there's nothing more distracting than pain, physical pain. But praise God, even that. You know, I think as Jim Richards says, we have in our bookstore, heard him say this one, we have in our bookstore faith helpers. They come in a little bottle, and it says on the front of them, aspirin. Because you can take that and it'll help the pain, help relieve the pain, so you can get focused back on the right thing. Side venture there, sorry about that. Anyway, looking away from all that would distract to Jesus, who is the leader and source of our faith, giving first incentive for our belief, and is also its finisher, bringing it to maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He despised the shame. He ignored the shame. He endured the cross. So life is not supposed to be an endurance for us. He did the enduring. And because he did the enduring, we can experience and actualize what's already been won for us in Lord Jesus Christ, but looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. Observing him, seeing him. There, whatever way you need, the Holy Spirit will show you a way to look at that. I like the seeing myself standing in front of the cross and everything that I'm not going on to him. You know, in sickness and disease and all those things going on to him and coming back off him to me, health and healing and life and strength and vitality. But there's a way for you to see and experience who Jesus is in you and meditate on it and see him. I am so much preaching this to me because it's so easy to fall back into. I'm hurting, I'm coping, how am I going to get through? Can I make it another day? Just put one foot in front of the other instead of enjoying the kind of life that God has for us, experiencing that.